I just will remind you that we can't do it, finish up this last year of PERB without getting that done. And then I know that I worked on the draft of the BAC letter for BES, and the yes, basically we agree with 3.85. The only place we had any question with the decision packages that we were handed were the discussion about the deputy director's position for BES, and the sense of it was we're in a new process for BES, and that decision might best be taken a little later as we see how things develop. But that we recognize that that's a management decision you need to make, and just standing back from it and looking at it from the BAC point of view, we thought, well, you know, there's some changes coming. It might be something we ought to take a look at and see if deputy director's the way to go. But that was the only thing that we noted that put us off the 3.8, and the deputy director is a minuscule amount of that. So
I also want to call out that we've really made a recommendation looking at what we call budget season, which is very long in Portland, as you well know. And looking at what all the rate setters, including solid waste, BES, and water, go through every year, that we have made a suggestion that you think about setting rates biennially. We haven't discussed this with water and BES, but we think it would help stabilize sometimes, or at least we don't have to go through it every year, because it's exhausting.
Yes, and it's really important. And I originally, when I got on the council 6 years ago, thought along the same lines. And the more I've listened in the budget process, and the more I hear thoughtful citizens ask questions, the more we're able to adjust to very changing numbers over the past 6 years and perhaps for the future. There's a lot of value in the budget process, and it does matter where we spend our money. The budget process is partly where we look at how are we spending it now? Have we spent it wisely? What did we do in this past year that has it worked or has it not worked? And I think that it's really the one time that citizens really get to dig into the Bureau's operations and planning, other than the bureaus that are fortunate enough to have Bureau advisory committees. But even then, that's a smaller number of folks rather than the entire general public. And thanks to Commissioner Fish's public meetings to really explain it, you know, it's okay to, for once a year, to have a public meeting to explain the water rates and the sewer rates and what goes into it. And, you know, we have hundreds of people who go away saying, huh, like you say, you know, I didn't know that. I do now have more confidence in our utilities. I want us to not look upon the budget just as all of these things that we're required to do in it. Just as transportation is not about getting from A to B, it's about who are you going with, how are you doing it, what other, are you doing, getting a healthy exercise, you know, those kinds of bigger picture things.
By the way, I'm really glad you used the word biennial. I'm preparing for the spelling bee, Schoolhouse Supplies spelling bee on Thursday, and they gave you all the words you have to memorize or have to become familiar with. And biennial and biannual are the two words that they try to throw you off, and I had to be reminded what they each refer to. So this has been very helpful to me to stay sharp.
And we're not talking about not having the budget every year, but just setting rates maybe every 2 years, biennially.
Yeah. Well, the mayor has at one point said maybe we do budgeting every 2 years. I don't know where we're headed on that, but it's food for thought. Is what we end up doing is we set the rates for 1 year, but we set the 5-year forecast. So in a sense, we at least in spirit, we're doing what you suggest. It's just a lot more work.
It's just food for thought, but it sort of, would it help sort of stabilize, you know, public perception over rates that you have it biennially?
Do you have anything? It might mean that then you had a bigger jump after the next 2 years, and that would then be a more sticker shock.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that we don't miss out on solid waste, because I'm really interested in solid waste.
So that's our major concern with the pub process, is that solid waste is being abandoned, orphaned, to Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, which is where they're housed anyway. And we take solid waste very seriously. And we think it's actually a very integral part of all of the rate setting, even though they do, because it's different process, they do their rates quite differently. When you have people like PURB, and in the future like PUB, that look at all rates and think about rates, it makes a lot more sense to have solid waste as part of it, rather than have it in a group that doesn't really think about rates very often. Because once you're informed about rates, you can ask more questions about it and how rates work, even if solid waste works differently. And I think that's been one of our concerns, is that, wait a second, rate setting is its own art form. You don't want to just abandon it to people who don't know that art form.
The plan to move it to the Planning and Sustainability Commission makes sense in a diagram of where responsibilities lie, because obviously the Planning Commission is over BPS, where the Sustainability Bureau is now. That happened on my watch. I mean, the former mayor made a choice to move sustainability into that department, and I mean, I can't disagree with that there's some method to that, but I have real doubts, at least in the shorter term, about whether Planning and Sustainability Commission should be given that duty, given that we're getting ready to make some pretty major changes in the comp plan, and there are going to be a lot of things going to them on their plate. And the way we set garbage rates is in a real compressed timeline, late in the month of April and early May. And, you know, we have to set special meetings for PURB to make those decisions, because of the way the money or the reports come in from the accountants and the other people. And, you know, there's a lot on Planning Commission's plate, and I don't want to say that the people over there at the Planning Commission don't have the capability of doing it, but I don't know how wise it is, time-wise, and the whole situation that they're going to be dealing with over, I suspect, the next couple of years as we make these changes in the comp plan, that it's not the right time to move that responsibility to them. And the expertise is in the pub, I hope. And some staff now, more support rather than less. So I don't want to rain on that parade too much. Maybe in the long term it's right, but short term I'm not sanguine about it at all.
I'll just reiterate what my colleague said. I mean, I think that, yeah, there's expertise in reviewing rates that is incumbent on the members of the PURB and future members of the PUB that could be very useful for solid waste rates, and ultimately to lessen the load of what the Planning Commission has to do.
One last thing on that. I really think if you go back and look at the history of what happened over the last couple of years with solid waste rates, there was a franchise renegotiation, and we had two, Janice and Vince, two very good lawyers on the PURB, and they got into that renegotiation up to their elbows in getting some things made better so that we had a little more time in setting that rate in the early spring and stretching it out. And I really think they contributed to that conversation that, again, I mean, the people on the Planning Commission, I just can't conceive of them, if their workload stays the same, of having the time to get in it, the next time a franchise comes around, having the time to get into that kind of a role. Maybe it'll change. Maybe they can adjust to it. But maybe the pub can carry it on better is my concern there.
Good feedback, and we'll take it into consideration.
And it's not onerous. I mean, really, learning about solid waste is actually quite interesting. And I think it's part of, really, it's a utility. So it really should be seen as a utility. And people certainly love their recycling, but they also need to understand the price of that's going to go up and why. And sort of that right-setting mindset would really help. The other concern we had, solid waste being sort of orphan, and the other is the administrative review committees that members of PURB sit on with someone from the Water Bureau and someone from BES. And this is what allows citizens, if they challenge a bill or have a real issue, to come before a review committee. So if they don't like what they're hearing from customer service, they can come to the review committee hearing. Sometimes it's sort of a hoot. We take it very seriously, though, and I think citizens should have a right to come before that sort of board and say, this is why we disagree with customer service. At the same time, what we've all found, and there were more than a dozen last year, and evidently CUB is sort of telling people they should use that as a vehicle, so you're going to start seeing more and more. Much more of a workload, by the way, for customer service. They have to put together a whole case. And Andrew has been fabulous at that. So I worry about increased workload if sort of everyone thinks they can just go to the ARC, which they could, but at the same time, it sort of sorts itself out and self-selects. We've also learned a lot about citizens' concerns, citizens' perceptions, citizens' total misunderstanding of how the systems work, that these ARC hearings actually inform us on what citizens are thinking about. So it's a really, really useful part, I would say, of PURB, and we do take turns sitting on them. Do you want to add anything, John?
Well, I guess one of the citizens is a very broad definition, because one of the last ARCs that I sat on involved the National Guard Air Base, and we had four uniformed officers and four consultants flown out by the Air Force from Washington, D.C. to talk about the stormwater charges that they were paying at the air base. So it was an interesting experience, but I think that it's good for PUB, or it would be good for PUB to sit on it. I think maybe that if I know the auditor's office is where the hearings officers reside, and you need to take a serious look at that and make it a more robust program with maybe a hearings officer, the other bureau, and a PUB member, rather than the sort of internal decisions that are being made now. That's my only real criticism.
Can I say that this is a very timely discussion? The example that you gave is one where
probably not well suited to the informal review process because people are making claims of federal preemption and some very highfalutin arguments, better, I think, suited to a hearing officer and then and potentially court. But I will tell you that I met with the auditor the other day, and she has a concern that I share, that our administrative fee schedule for some of these hearings is a barrier to people pursuing their rights. And so we're she's taking a top to bottom look at that. And what's the point of having a process that people can't afford? And then how do we make it more accessible? And so that's something we are very interested in working with her on. And also, though, figuring out ways informally of giving people relief. You know, I people will come up to me when I'm at an event in the community, and they'll take out their bill and they'll say, "I have a real problem." And you know, sometimes it's as simple as it's explaining what the bill is. You're being charged for sewer, water, stormwater. Here are the charges. It looks like there's been a spike. You have a leak. Is what's going on at home? And for small businesses, sometimes it's the FOG program. We get people that are, you know, see an increase, and they maybe aren't aware that we have discount programs that we can bring to bear and the like. So my own view is we should have as robust and informal system as possible, because it's often a communication issue, an education issue, and then we have tools we can bring to bear. But where there's going to be a more formal process, I think we have to make sure also that citizens can afford to avail themselves of the justice we've set up in cases where there's really a significant dispute. The one you mentioned is unique among unique, so and probably was quite an experience.
And my understanding of the Administrative Review Committee is there is no charge for that if they want to take it to the next step. But sometimes that just Administrative Review Committee is just the reality check of, I mean, there are people trying to scam the system, basically, or just don't want to pay their bills. And sometimes that reality check is enough to say, no, really, what you heard from customer service is appropriate here.
And the other
we couldn't make we are not making policy decisions on that. That actually has to go to city council. There are certain policy decisions that people are wanting that really cannot be made there. So we help them understand the lines that have to be drawn.
The other thing about, I think, that particular hearing, and then one other that I sat on that involved a major bill, was there was a kind of a jurisdictional issue. There was a sense that they had to go through the ARC before they could go to the hearings officer with a really large a dispute about money, and that's something that we needs to be taken a look at and decided what process. And I guess I'd say, you know, I work a lot. ADR is great, mediation and arbitration kind of things. Less formal but quick justice situations are good. I work in my field of the law, community associations. We're mandated to do that by statute now. And so we always have to start out with the mediation. And I'm convinced that helps. So,
yeah, I mean, I would suggest kind of possibly taking the view of the ARC as like a small claims court, and that larger dollar amounts anyway probably need to be forwarded directly to the hearings division. There's also, I have heard that it's upwards of about $1,000 worth of costs incurred by the city to move something to hearings. So there definitely needs to be a level at which someone can bring forth a claim that without subjecting themselves to that fee. But at the same time, yeah, something like the Air National Guard probably just needs to bypass that commission completely.
So long term, it's worth looking at that process. But more than anything, I just wanted to flag that we learn a lot from sitting on this, and that PUB might learn a lot from sitting on this, because you're hearing from distressed citizens, and it's one of the only forums where you're really going to hear from a lot of the distressed citizens. I also want to talk a little bit about working with CUB and perhaps clarifying some roles of representing citizens. And it's been a little, everyone's trying to sort of figure out what their roles are in this. And it's been, I found it a little confusing. It's like, okay, you come to PERB meetings, but then what are you doing? So we don't have real visibility of what CUB's been doing aside from sitting on the Blue Ribbon Commission and really looking at process. And yet that doesn't seem to be what their charter was. So I just want to help. I just want to flag that as something that ongoing it might help PUB to understand what the role of CUB. Oh, this is going to be fun, guys. This is CUB, PUB. What the role of CUB really is.
And because they are an independent body funded by citizens who join, you know, they will ultimately define their role. But what we have found so far as this relationship has been launched is that we've gotten some very thoughtful recommendations from them, and typically in the form of a letter that comes to council with a whole set of recommendations. And as they develop their expertise, because their experience, of course, has been at the state level working with private utilities, as they further refine their expertise with public utilities, we expect them to provide even more value. But that is to be determined. And I think you know, the sort of interplay between this new oversight body, the CUB, the Bureau, and the councils is a work in progress, and we have to figure out what that right balance is. And again, I look forward to getting your thoughts upstream on that. But with, again, remembering that the CUB is a wholly independent body, and that we've pledged in our agreement with them to provide them information, consult with them, be accessible, give them the opportunity to come to council. But we don't ultimately dictate the role. But I would like to, but I think we all would like to see the role be complementary to what the PUB does.
And I think that's been my concern sort of when I heard that, you know, they were recommending that citizens go to the ARC hearings. It's like I wish they would understand that there are repercussions, there are costs to this. And that it worries me a little bit that they're not thinking about the whole cost of what they are doing. I mean, staff time for ARC meetings is, there's a full-time person doing ARC. So I'm just raising that as a flag of sort of going, okay, so they're independent and they can go in and ask the bureaus all these questions and things, but they're taking city time to do it. And so they've been valuable, I mean, really interesting and valuable. And I've also seen them sort of going, oh, this is not a private utility. This is not electrical. And their learning curve on this has been
one thing I also appreciated steep. Over the last year or so is that, or actually last year and a half, is that there have been moments where someone in the public sphere has made a claim or said something that just grossly mischaracterizes the utilities, what they do, how they operate. And in effect, they become the fact checkers coming in and saying, you know, that's just not true. Let's hit rewind, you know, put some boundaries on the conversation. And they have the credibility to do that. So they've been enormously helpful. Do we have time to go around the horn here and see if anyone has any questions on the panel for you? Starting with Commissioner Fritz.
I don't have any questions. I really appreciate the time that you've spent on the PERB. It has been very useful to me over the last 6 years to have the PERB's independent voice. I think that your committee under Janice Adler's previous chairmanship and then yours have done a remarkable job of informing the council and the public and representing us. So just thank you very much, and thank you, Commissioner Fish.
I don't have any other questions either. I also really appreciate your work and how informative and thoughtful you are. And I thought that this discussion today was wonderful. So thank you.
No questions. Just want to add my thanks for your service. Appreciate it.
Well, I have 17 assignments that you have given me off of comments or questions, and I really appreciate that. You have my commitment that we will involve you up, you know, early on in the next phase of just helping to translate recommendations to that we have from the BRC to potential recommendations to come to council for the next phase. I too want to lend my voice of thanks for your service, and you know, I understand how frustrating it has been dealing with you know, the challenges you've had over the last year and a half, and you know, there's been a lot of turbulence, the public fight over the utilities, the BRC, some leadership leadership changes, some uncertainty, and along the way you have often noted that you had trouble getting, you know, a full complement of people and the kind of consistent support. I would say in spite of those challenges, you have given us good service, and we thank you. And the recommendations in your report and the conversation today will help us get it right in the next phase. And I know that all three of you will stay engaged one way or another in this process. So many thanks.
And I also want to end by thanking the CBO for their support and help and their analysis of budgets over time, and to thank the bureaus for really supporting PERB and being able, you know, showing up sort of every month at the meetings and really taking PERB seriously. It's made a big difference in the caliber of questions we've been able to ask, even. So all of them have been very, very useful.
I know that Tom, who wasn't able to attend today because of another meeting, had just one other thing, and I think it can be in the form of a thank you, was as things have evolved lately, for a long time at PERB meetings, we usually had at least two and maybe three commissioners assistants attending and giving us reports, and with the fluid situation, sometimes it's just been down to the one because of the way that it changed in terms of a single commissioner. And Tom expressed a little chagrin about having everything focused in a single commissioner, because one of the things that we found really useful was having two or three people from your offices at PERB over time, and that's a thank you back to you to support that. You know, when three of your people come and participate in here and give us information, that's a big help to whatever body you have, and that's something you ought to keep in mind in the future if you could.
Well, one thing I will tell you is while I was, I guess, put it diplomatically, I was surprised when I was originally given both utilities, because it had not happened for 10 years. Dan was the last commissioner to have both. What I quickly learned is that there was a lot of logic to having both under a single commissioner, and partly for what you alluded to at the beginning of your testimony about consistency across bureaus and like the way we did our CIPs, having literally both bureaus in the room thrashing out CIPs, where I did feel sometimes they were speaking different languages, but they had different approaches to CIPs. They had different kinds of projects. So I think there was real merit to maybe putting them under one person. What I have observed in the last year, however, is that the entire council is now fully engaged in managing the utilities. And that's partly because I have conscientious colleagues who are very concerned. It's partly because we've moved a ton of stuff off the consent agenda and put it on the regular agenda so that we get more briefings on, you know, things that come forward. And I think for all of us, that's been it's been important to hear the good work and in some detail. And but what I feel, even though I'm technically today the commissioner in charge of these two bureaus, I feel like the whole council has stepped up and said, you know, we are going to provide oversight over these bureaus. And that, to me, is a very hopeful sign as we head to this next phase of reform.
Because you invited us.
Yeah.
Thank you, Walter.